We continue in the last installment, I guess I could say it that way, last installment of The King is Coming. We're talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He came the first time as a little baby, of course, grew up, died on a cross, rose again for us 3 days later. Interceding for us, that interceding means he's on the right hand of God the Father right now. Interceding is another way of saying he's thinking about y'all. He's praying for you. So there he is. We don't know when he's coming back again, but we do know he is coming back again. We've talked about that the last two Sundays. This morning we'll wrap that up. You can't never wrap the second coming of Jesus up, so to speak. But that's the third installment this morning. Here's the theme of the message this morning. The certainty of his second coming, the certainty of his coming, shapes the urgency of our living. We could say it that way. Let me say that again. The certainty of his coming shapes the urgency of our living. Let's take a look. 2 Peter chapter 3. Apostle Peter wrote in chapter 3, he's writing to the Christian believers, Jewish Christian believers, beginning at verse 10. He said this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Father, thank you for your words to us. These are ancient words, yet they're living and active and true today as they were then. And we look forward to that day, the day of the Lord, when Jesus, you will come back again. And so give us direction, Holy Spirit, and lead us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter, he doesn't give dates. Some people are looking for dates. Well, come on, tell me when he's coming back again. I can't. Sorry. Can't give you dates. He gives more direction. The point of the passage is not speculation, but sanctification. He talks about leading a holy life. That's the fancy word. Sanctification is a word for you trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been set apart, made holy by him. So that's what sanctified means, to be made holy. It's more about that. So the world is passing away as we know it. It will eventually pass away, but God is preparing, and we saw it in this text, he's preparing for us. We talked about it in Sunday school today, about heaven. There's an intermediate heaven where you go when you die. When you believe in Christ, you go to heaven, okay? But there's a final resting place, a place called a new heaven and new earth. This text referred to that. It said, a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Well, righteousness will dwell. It is a new heaven and a new earth because sin will no longer reign. There won't be sin there. There won't be anxiety. There won't be depression. There won't be aches and pains. There won't be all of those things that go with sin in entering the world. There won't be those things because righteousness will dwell. Jesus will dwell with us. God will be our God, and we'll be his people. Because the King is coming, we live with eternal perspective in a temporary world. So here's how the text begins. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? He asks the question. Peter asks, so we know that this is going to be happening. The earth is going to disappear. The heavens will disappear. We'll get the new heaven and new earth eventually. We know that's happening. We know it's a promise. We know it's going to be. So in the meantime, Peter asks the question, what sort of people ought you to be? Then he asks and says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. So the world as we know it is ending. Promise is there. In the meantime, how are we to live? What kind of people? And we're to be holy and godly. Okay, so we live faithfully today. We live faithfully today because our hope is secure tomorrow. Our hope is secure tomorrow because Jesus has secured it. Okay? Now, these words from Peter, these words from Paul, he even said, Paul wrote these letters. In all of his letters, he talked about this day. He talked about that there would be a day when the Lord returns, the second coming. But he didn't, and people will be scoffers and mockers of that, but to their own destruction, Peter says. And so that will happen. They won't understand that Jesus is coming again, but they're doing that to their own destruction. Okay, so this is going to happen, and they're not written to scare us. They're not written to put fear into us. In fact, as I'll end the message today, Paul wrote his in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He wrote these words to the church in Thessalonica. He wrote it to them and to us to encourage us. These are words of encouragement, not fear, not scary. Okay? Because of the promise. So our text continues with, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. So the coming King calls us to holy and hopeful lives. So Peter here gives two commands. The first, be diligent to be found at peace with Him. With who? With Jesus. Be at peace with Him. How can we be at peace with Jesus? Trust Him. Believe in Him. You're at peace with somebody. Is you're not battling them, you're not fighting them, you're believing and trusting in who they are. And then the second commandment is to be without spot and blameless. So how do I do that? That's tough. Well, we're not talking about morality, moral panic. We're not going to concern, well, it's more about Christ-centered, gospel-shaped holiness. Peter says, be holy because He's holy. He makes you holy. He sets you apart. When you say yes to Jesus by faith, He makes you holy. That's what He means when it's spotless and blameless and holy. Okay, let's keep going. Meaning that we receive Christ as Lord by faith in Him and then are shaped by Him and led by Him. So we don't live holy lives to earn His return. All right, I'm going to live a holy life so that Jesus comes back faster. We live holy lives because He's coming back, because He's returning. Chad Bird writes this. He says, holiness is not what we achieve for God, but what God accomplishes in us through Christ. That's what holiness is. This keeps the message in our lives grounded in grace and not performance, not what I do or say. It's grounded in grace and it's grounded in Christ. Holiness is not withdrawal from the world, but faithfulness within it. Peace is not passivity, but spirit-formed character. So, and peace, when we're talking about peace specifically, it's not just the absence of strife. Jesus is talking more about gift here. When Peter talks about peace, it's the peace that Jesus Himself gives. It is Him. The peace that we have, it's in Him. This is what Jesus said, John 14 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. So John 14, 15, 16, that's all about Jesus just going soon to the cross. And the disciples see that. They witness all his miracles for those 3 years. They're getting close to the end where Jesus will go to the cross. He's told them, at least 3 times, he's told them, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be persecuted, but 3 days later I'm going to rise. They didn't understand it completely until, remember we talked last Sunday about the ascension, Jesus going up and back into heaven. Okay. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says it to comfort them, to encourage them. He says, I am leaving you with a gift. Here it is. Peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart. That's my gift to you. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. The world cannot give this kind of peace. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. All gift. Here's how the Apostle Paul talked about this kind of peace. This is from Philippians chapter 4. Paul said this, don't worry about anything. That's easy to say. In our humanness, it's easy to worry, isn't it? We all worry. My aunt worried about everything. She lived to 95, so maybe it's not so bad. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, do this. Pray. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, passes all understanding. That kind of peace. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of peace we're talking about. That's the kind of peace that Peter says, be at peace in Him. How can I be at peace in Him? Trusting in what He did for me and for you. The coming King calls us to live lives of love and witness and service. Peter says, count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why hasn't Jesus come back again yet? Why hasn't He returned yet? The King James says patience this way. It says long suffering. The Lord is long suffering. He's patient. Why is He patient? He wants others to come to know Him. He hasn't returned yet because He's patient, He's long-suffering. He wants others to trust in Christ as their Lord and their Savior. We live as ambassadors of the coming King. An ambassador, remember, an ambassador is a representative of the country of which they are a citizen, right? So if I were to say, Mark, you're going to become the U.S. ambassador to Madagascar. Yay! Let's see if we can make that happen. Let's pray for Mark that he could become the U.S. ambassador to Madagascar. Not sure if we have one. But Mark, that's your new title. You're going to be the U.S. ambassador to Madagascar. So, in other words, Mark, you're going to represent the U.S. You're going to you're a citizen of the U.S., okay? You're going to represent us to Madagascar. You're going to make sure that the King and you are on a first-name basis, and you're going to represent, hey, King, we love you. We're going to do whatever we can to help you because you're going to represent our country as a citizen of this country. Same thing with Christians, believers, followers of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So we've been reconciled to God by Jesus. He has reconciled us back to God because of what He did and accomplished for us. Now we, as ambassadors of the King, because we're citizens of heaven, did you know that? You're a citizen of Grand Forks, you're a citizen of North Dakota, maybe Minnesota. You're a citizen of the U.S., maybe Canada. I got some smiles from the Canadians. Yes, but you're also, when you say yes to Jesus, you're a citizen of heaven. God's representative, ambassador, here on earth, pointing people to him. Okay, so as ambassadors, we live as servants who reflect his humility. Jesus says to us, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We serve others because he first served us. We live as witnesses who point others to his grace. Last Sunday, we looked at Acts 1 in the ascension of Jesus. The angel said to the people gathered, here's what the angel said. He said, "What are you looking up there for?" He said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who you see going before you, the same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven, will come back," he said. He will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. We don't know when that is, but we know that it is. He also said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Notice in that, Jesus says, you will be my witness. You're my ambassador. You're my child, and you're going to point others to me. What a gift. What a privilege. Peter elsewhere said this in his letters, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." People are going to ask, "Why are you so weird? Why are you different? Why do you not swear? Why do you..." Maybe you... I don't know. But why do you believe in Christ? Be prepared. How do you be prepared? Just tell them about what Christ has done for you. This is what Jesus did for me. And he can do for you the same thing. Point them to him as a witness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "The church is only the church when it exists for others." I've said this before. I've quoted him before. "The church is only the church when it exists for others." Does that mean we stop meeting together? No, don't do that. The writer to Hebrews says, don't stop meeting together. As you see in that text, it says, as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. What's the day of the Lord? When he comes back again. Jesus is coming the second time. Continue to meet together. Continue to encourage one another. Pray for each other. That's why we gather. But the church, you all, are here on earth to point others to Jesus. It's exactly how we live as we await the King. So we live generously, because the King has been generous to us. We live forgivingly because he's first forgiven us. We live courageously because the King reigns and he's given us courage. I don't know if that exemplifies courage or not. I mean, we live missionally because the King delays his return for the sake of others coming to know him. So the coming King also anchors our identity. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the one who came in humility. This is Jesus, the one who died and rose. This is Jesus, the one who ascended and will return again one day. This is Jesus, the one who calls us to live in hope, holiness, and mission until he comes. We don't wait with anxiety, we wait with expectation. We don't wait with fear, we wait with faithfulness. We don't wait looking at the sky, we wait by living on the ground, loving, serving, witnessing until the King appears. I was watching a documentary. I had watched part of it before. It's called Truth Rising. I told the Sunday school we're going to do a four-part study in Sunday school on Truth Rising. I did mention it earlier, didn't I? I'd encourage you, watch it yourself. Truth Rising is called. You can go to Focus on the Family or Colson Center. You can find it. Just do a Google, Truth Rising. About an hour long. At the end, John Stone Street, Oz Guinness is 80-some years old. I think he's close to 90. He kind of hands the mantle, so to speak. He's at the end of his life. And he's pointed people to Jesus and written books and preached and taught. And John's a younger guy. I don't know, he's probably in his 50s. But Oz gave him a gift and then wrote him a note. And then John, touched by that gift, said this, and it caught my eye because this is the title of the message today. How then shall we live? That's actually a phrase or a verse in the Old Testament. How then shall we live? John said this. Here's what I know for certain. Love God. Follow Christ. Know what is true. Be a person of hope. Discover what God has called you to and join this battle. Help and encourage other believers to embrace their calling. Be bold. Persevere. Love your neighbor. Hold your family close. Pray continually. And just watch what God will do. And remember, you were called to this moment. You were called to this moment. We don't know the time of Jesus coming back again. Sorry if you're looking for a date today. Can't give it to you. We do know the season. The last 2,000 years is known as the days of grace or the age of grace. So we know the season that he's coming soon. It's close. We don't know when. This is from Matthew chapter 24. Therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. How then shall we live? Expectantly. Faithfully. Watchingly. Prayerfully. Thankfully. The Apostle Paul, when talking about this topic, said to share this with others to encourage them, not to scare them. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus. Encourage one another as you gather with these kinds of words. And know this, that the Lord God has made a way for his children. And that way is in and through Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reality, the promise that those who are in Christ know for certain that you are coming back again. We don't know when. But Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us to be ready as we live our lives here. love you and love others and point them to you. In Jesus' name.